open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to introduce you to another friend of mine tonight. Colossians chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles, and then I know you're looking forward to meeting a new friend tonight. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I've found this chapter to be amazing. I don't really know of any other word. That's probably an understatement. But Colossians chapter 3 to me is an amazing, amazing, amazing chapter. If we lose our focus as a Christian, read chapter 3 of Colossians. If we lose our focus as a church, read chapter 3 of Colossians, because it tells us exactly where our focus is supposed to be. I'm forever amazed at how Christians lose their focus. It's like, come on, let's wake up. Our focus is on heavenly things. I'm only a pilgrim passing through here. I like the old song, I'm just a pilgrim homeward winging. Soon with the saints I will be singing. And Colossians 3 reminds us of that. You know, it talks about setting your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. I'm telling you, Christians, we're putting our affection in all the things. We're worried and concerned about all the things of this world. We need to be concerned about souls. I promised I'd introduce somebody to you. This is Tiny Tim's friend. Meek Michael. Can you see Meek Michael? See those eyes? Aren't those eyes something special there? So this is Meek Michael. All right. So we're going to be talking about meekness tonight. We're going to be talking about meekness. Remember the whole thrust of Colossians, when I first thought I'd start in this series, I went to verse 12 and I thought, well, that's where I'm going to mainly focus. But there was so much rich before that, I couldn't do it. So remember, we're not like we used to be. We've changed. We got to set our affections above. And this kept on going. It said some things we're supposed to put out of our life because that's what we used to be. And then we get to verse 12. Finally, I got there, and we've been looking at it for a few weeks now. Things that we are supposed to put on. You see, why would Scripture tell us to put something on? It's because we have a choice to put it on or not. And one thing we're going to talk about tonight is putting on meekness. And Mike here, Meek Mike or Michael, he's here to help us with an object lesson, okay? Because you see how, doesn't he look like somebody you'd like to know? I mean, he's got a little smile on his face and he's just a good guy, don't you think? And by the way, we count these people in our attendance. We got Connie for Sunday school. 1, 2, 3. Okay? All right. So, there's Meek Mike. Can you remember where we've been, what we've already talked about? Of course, we got Bubba here. Bubba is one of our most faithful members. He's always here. And we talked about glasses of compassion. The scriptures say we need to put on bowels of mercies. We would say a heart of mercy. And to make it simple to remember, just we need to look through glasses of compassion when we look at the world. So when we get up in the morning, put on your glasses, right? And try to see people the way Jesus does, with compassion. There's a lot of areas we see people that make us upset, right? And make us angry, maybe at their attitude and the way they think and maybe even the way they vote. But guess what? We still need to show them compassion and compassion to the Lord. So glasses of compassion, bowels of mercies. Then we looked at, in particular, what? Kindness. We're supposed to put on kindness. Every day we get up, we're supposed to put on kindness. And you say, well, smile. Is that kindness? No, not necessarily. But I thought one of the best ways to represent kindness is to a smile. It starts with a smile. Let's try. So you get up in the morning. Now I know some of you, before you get your coffee or your tea, in my case, you may not be too apt to smile. But we're supposed to put on a smile in kindness to those around us, right? And it starts with a smile, but as I've said every time I believe I've mentioned it, it should extend to our fingers and helping other people and serving other people. So it's not just a flippant, oh, smile, you know, okay. That's not really kindness, but it does start with a smile. And then it ought to extend to our toes and our feet so that we are serving people in kindness, doing kind things, right? And I know this is one of your favorites, but this is Tiny Tim. Remember? And we talked about put on humility. You know, we need to see ourselves as really small compared to other people, right? And really small compared to God. That's humility. Tonight, as we talk about meek Michael here, we're going to look at Scripture. If you would, I'm not going to read the whole verses for this, but in verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God," that's us, "holy and beloved," we're set apart to God, we're specially loved by the Lord, "bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind," and there it is, meekness. Meekness. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, meekness. Now you say, what? Preacher, what's meekness? Well, can I be honest with you? You kind of like to have honesty in your preacher, right? It's kind of between humility and meekness. There is a link. There is a link there. And it's hard in some ways to distinguish exactly the difference. We're going to talk about it, and I'm going to give you some thoughts on it. It seems to me that humility is kind of the way you view yourself, but meekness is more of a disposition. You know, who you are on the inside. And I believe that when you become a Christian, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more too, you know, when you first become a Christian, you may still have a bad disposition on the inside to a point. Now, you're saved, you're thanking the Lord, and God continually starts to work here and works there. If God's not working in your heart and life and trying to improve certain areas of your life, you need to ask God to go back and say, "Guess what, God, I want you to work. I want you to work. I want you to work." Because if He's not working, either you're not breathing or you're not right with the Lord right now, because our Christian life is one challenge after another, and one growth spot after another, and one step forward after another. So, meek Mike. It's a disposition. It's a disposition. It's a mild disposition, if you will. It's not being self-assertive. It's not being selfish. It's not being self-interested. It's not being pushy. It's not with an attitude. It's not being the center of attention. Now, I realize that there is a crossover. I'll say it one more time, between meekness and humility. But it would seem to me that the meekness that we're talking about here is more our disposition on the inside, our nature. And our nature should be drawn more and more to be the nature of Jesus, right? Now, a few points about this as we talk about putting on meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not. A lot of people, "Oh, well, meekness means weakness." No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean weakness. Let me give you, for instance, because point number two will come somewhat clarify that. You know, the Bible says that Christ was meek. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, I believe we looked at this verse last week. I'm pretty sure that's the verse we looked at. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, and you will need your Bible to look at it, but I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," Jesus speaking, "for I am," here it is, "meek and lowly in heart." Remember last week, the lowly part means humility, but the meek part is the same idea, the same word that's used here that we're supposed to put on meekness. So Jesus was meek and he was humble, "and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, if meekness is not weakness, you say, "Well, how do we know that?" You know, the Bible never says that we're supposed to be doormats. Seriously. I mean, you think about Jesus. You know, he had a great inner disposition. He had a great nature. Everything about him is good, right? So when he encountered people, it wasn't like he was pushy. It wasn't like he was selfish. I just read today in my scripture reading where Jesus girded himself with a towel, and in the upper room just before he died on the cross, he washed the disciples' feet. That's a meekness. But let me tell you, that same Jesus, he cleaned out the money changers. Remember that? On more than one occasion. I know of at least two occasions in Scripture. Maybe more, but at least two occasions recorded in Scripture. He got among those money changers, which were cheating the people. They were cheating the people. It wasn't the deal of money. It wasn't the exchange of money. It was cheating. He made a whip. Can you imagine Jesus going, you know, hey, you're cheating people, turning over their tables. You know, you've made my house a den of thieves when it's supposed to be a house of prayer. That's not weakness. I've heard meekness described as power under control. So first of all, meekness is not weakness. Second, Christ was meek. Look at Matthew 21 and verse 5. Matthew 21 and verse 5. This is at the triumphal entry, but notice what it says. Well, look back up to verse 4. I can say that when we don't have verses on the screen. Let's back up to verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. What is it? Meek. Meek. And sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, listen. Jesus came in a way of meekness, in the way of meekness, if you would. This is a quote from Zechariah 9:9 is what the prophecy that's mentioned. But Christ came, and he came as that meek servant on that donkey. But you know what? When he comes back, he's coming back on a horse. And he's coming back as judge. So meekness is a good thing. It's not weakness. I mean, if Jesus said, I was meek, and then you look at his actions, he was not a doormat. He was not weak in any way. In another example, he stood before the Pharisees, and he just basically laid it out there and said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. So meekness is not weakness. Christ was meek. Third, it seems to be a process. Now, I alluded to this earlier, but in James chapter 3, go ahead and go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 3. This putting on meekness or having meekness in your life or this disposition, this good nature deep down on the inside, it goes beyond, you know, just seeing yourself as small like Tiny Tim did. It's more of an inner disposition, a meekness of your soul. Now, again, they're related. But it says, James chapter 3 and verse 13, it seems to me to be a process. Point number 3. Seems to be a process. Notice what it says. Who is a wise man? Wise. Now, make a note of that. And endued with knowledge. Make a note of that. Among you, let him out of a good conversation or good conduct, show out of a good conversation his works. Notice what it says. With meekness of wisdom. Now, that's the same Greek word. It says, with meekness of wisdom. Now, notice in that verse, it says wise, it says knowledge, it says works, and it says wisdom. Now, we know that wisdom takes time, don't we? It kind of says, who's wise, a dude with knowledge. I believe it's picturing someone who's matured in their walk with God. Like I said before, I don't think the instant you get saved, your nature on the inside, and now you're just sweet all the way through. Now, granted, some exhibit that more quickly than others, but I really believe that meekness is a process. Because you can get saved one day, and the next day you still think you're it. And you can still be pushy, and you can still have a selfish attitude on the inside. Now, God works on that, and this verse seems to me to say that really it's a process. Ask yourself the question, are you more meek now than you were when you were first saved? I hope that's the case because God works on us, right? I mean, really, what right do we have to be bad-natured or to be pushy, or to be selfish with anything that we have? I mean, we got to realize who the Lord is. We got to realize everything we got comes from the Lord. And we need to have that sweet spirit, that good nature, that good disposition on the inside. It's a process. I hope you'd say, yeah, I can see some progress in that. But you know what? Even in areas of progress, sometimes that old ugly, mean, rotten rascal, the devil, will whisper in our ear, and our old flesh will agree with it, and the world will definitely agree with it, and we get selfish. That's my right. You're messing with me. You don't mess with me, right? And so we got to be careful, or we throw off meekness real quick. Instead of putting it on in the morning, we might put it on in the morning, but by noon we throw it off and say, guess what? I'm entitled. Actually, we live in a society of entitlement, right? Boy. I probably won't go there. But we need to put on meekness. First of all, meekness is not weakness. They are not synonyms. Second, Christ was meek. Christ was meek. If he was meek, I think we probably ought to follow his example, don't you think? Because part of being a Christian is being more and more like Jesus. Thirdly, it seems to be a process because it's equated to maturity. It's equated to growth and wisdom and knowledge. So it should be a process. Number four, we show meekness in a couple of tangible ways mentioned in Scripture. Now this now is everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic? You sure? Now this may surprise you. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. We show meekness. Point number four. We show meekness in a couple of tangible ways mentioned in Scripture. Now again, this is the same Greek word. The idea of meekness or a good disposition, a good nature on the inside. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, or extreme naughtiness, and any evilness and filthiness in our life. Put it aside. Notice what it says. And receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You say, what's the engrafted word that we've been given? The Bible. Do you see, when we're sitting in Sunday school class, we are to receive the Word of God in meekness. You say, well, how would we not receive it in meekness? I've heard this before. I don't really need this. I can't believe he's using that same illustration again. I can't believe, you know, that's not meekness. When we sit under a preacher, when we sit under a teacher, when we're there, we're supposed to be kind of like this. Okay, Lord, I need this. I really need this. And that shows the Lord that we have a good nature, a good disposition toward the Word. Now, obviously, there's some Christians in this world that think they got all they need to know because they sure don't come out to get any more. And I'm forever amazed at Christians. I mean, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I've noticed before in some Christian life, there is zero hunger for the Word of God. I mean, zero, it seems to me. It's like, if you and I are truly meek before the Lord, We ought to be willing, ready, and open to whatever God has to teach us. And sometimes we might be meek in receiving it, but very weak in doing it. Like, I'm going to receive it, but I'm sure not going to change. That's a pretty good word from God's word, but I'm not really going to listen to it. I tell you, the way to change your life and the way to be what God wants you to be is to receive the Word of God with meekness and say, I'm not it, but He is. I'm not it. I don't have the answers, but God sure does in His Word. Folks, it's time. We got to wake up. We got to be serious about the Lord. We got to put on these qualities that God has given us and say, you know what, preacher? I'm here. I want to listen. I want to serve. I want to do what you want me to do.
It wouldn't hurt to throw an amen in there every once in a while. That's like saying sick them to a dog. I mean, really, I know I can say amen and not be meek. I understand that. You know, I could be doing it for all the wrong reasons. But I think sometimes those that are receiving the word of God are getting so blessed they can't help but say amen. Praise the Lord. Preach it, preacher. Tell you what, you start doing that on Sunday, I'll preach for 3 hours. Come on. You may miss dinner, but you might get a spiritual feast. What do you think? We show meekness in a couple of tangible ways mentioned in Scripture. Receiving the word. Now, it's hard for me to completely relate this, but I really believe that in some people's lives, it's like oh, ho, hum. Another devotion from the preacher. Another sermon. Another friend from the preacher. You know, it's kind of like, I don't see any of y'all being that way, but I've known people. It's kind of like, we ought to come with an excitement for the Word of God. And we ought to come. You know, these people, I mean, honestly, I would be so lost in my service to the Lord, not lost in my salvation, but lost in my service to the Lord, if I did not have a healthy dose of input from the Word of God. Seriously, I would be to the kind of like, wow, what's wrong with my life? I feel so empty. It's because you're not filling it with the Word of God. And you can do that on your own, but you do it when you come to church. And we need to really seriously say, Lord, feed me. Lord, feed me. Lord, speak to me. Lord, I got work to do. I know I do, so work on me. That's meekness. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. There's another tangible area that this area of meekness can be shown. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Again, the same Greek word. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 15, I believe. 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, but sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Put him in a special place in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to, notice the extreme terms. It says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with what? Meekness and fear. Meekness and fear. Now, I have made the point, I don't want you to get confused about this, that we need to be more confident about the truth of the gospel. We don't need to hem-haw around and say, well, you know, I think you could probably be saved. And I believe this is the way to do it. I mean, we need to say, you know, this is what the Word of God says. But we don't need to be overbearing about it. We don't need to go to them and, you know, I'm going to press these people. I'm going to quote all these scriptures. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we go right into Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then you go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're just so absorbed with ourself. Or we go with a real attitude, you know, you're an old rotten rascal sinner, and you need to be saved. You know, we need to go with a good nature. I mean, what should appeal to them? Our good nature. Because God has been working on our disposition and our nature for years. And so when I go out, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I'm not God's gift to Christianity. I go and say, guess what? I know I'm a beggar and I found bread in Jesus. Don't you want to find bread? You know, I got something you need. The best thing that can ever happen. You see, it says with meekness and fear. I believe the fear is talking about fear of the Lord. We need to do what he wants us to do and say, guess what? We need to be ready to give an answer, and we need to do it in a good-natured way. I mean, we don't need any smart-aleck Christians. We don't need any know-it-all Christians. We don't need any big-shot Christians. I get that. Just don't get me going. I just don't think we need big shots. I really don't. I think we need humble, meek servants of God. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. We show meekness in a couple of tangible ways mentioned in Scripture. When we receive the word and when we witness for the Lord. Last point, number 5. There's blessing in meekness. There's blessing in meekness. We've already talked about some of them. I think you're more likely to receive the Word of God and let it change you, don't you think? When you witness, I imagine you'll see more people come and trust Jesus as Savior if you go with a meek attitude, don't you think? You'll be showing people Jesus and being more like Jesus. Isn't that a good thing? You'll be showing that God is growing you in your walk with the Lord the more you show meekness and that good disposition and that good nature that you have. But you know what? The Bible in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Can someone tell me what's going on in Matthew chapter 5? Hey, guess what? You're trying to find the heading in your Bible, and then you're going to go, it's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Matthew 5 through 7. And listen to what he says. You know, we read those Beatitudes. Chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek." Huh? Whoa. Come on. "For they shall inherit the earth." You know, it goes through and says, this is a good thing. Blessed. You know, the best. You see, Greek is a more precise language than English is. So they'll have different words for one word that we translate in English. Now, this is the same word, but blessed is kind of hard for us to, what is that? Blessed. Probably the best equivalent we have is happy. Happy. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy. I don't know, you want to be happy? Now, you know, happiness is, in the way we define it in English, is kind of based upon what's happening on the outside, you know, what's good and all that. But this is a deeper happiness than that. This might be happiness akin to joy, really. But if joy is based upon our relationship with Jesus. And if you go around with a good nature, a good disposition on the inside, there's a good chance God's going to bless you. God's gonna make you joyful, blessed, happy in your service to the Lord. You see, when we get up in the morning, we need to put on meekness. Where'd he go? Ah, here he is. Meek Michael. I didn't say meet Michael. Meek Michael. I know my accent gets me in trouble. M-E-E-K, meek Michael. You can just tell by looking at him, he's got a good disposition, can't you? Yeah, happy little feller. Every day we get up, because we are children of God, because we have a choice. I mean, it would be ridiculous, you know, to say put it on if we didn't have a choice to put it on. You say, "Preacher, I can't put on a good disposition. I've been this way for years." Well, let God change you. Seriously, I've heard people say things like that. That's just the way they are. Well, they need to change. I mean, let's call it what it is. I'm not a preacher that beats around the bush. Let's just call it what it is. When you get up in the morning, you make a choice whether to be a good-natured child of God or a bad-natured child of God. And believe me, I know life is hard. I've had my share of knocks, and you've had your share of knocks. You may have had 10 times more share of knocks than I have. I'm not saying that, but we make a choice. Am I going to get up and focus on the knocks, or am I going to get up and focus on my Jesus? Am I going to get up and focus on meekness, good nature? I'm going to be good natured today, even though that coworker drives me crazy. I'm going to be good natured, even though that neighbor, if he hollers at me one more time and asks me how I'm doing and when I'm going to mow my yard, I think I'm going to hit him. You know, I mean, things like that happen, right? But when you put on a good nature, when you put on that meekness, man, you can face situations. You can have an impact on people. You can be like Jesus. You can show that God's working in you. You can do some amazing things for God when you put on that disposition, that nature of meekness. There's blessing. I guarantee you that if we wake up and put on a bad attitude instead of a good attitude of meekness, we're going to miss out on some blessings. Really. Some blessings are just right there, but we don't see them because we're in a bad disposition that day. We're in a bad nature that day. Let me encourage you. Put on meekness. It was good enough for Jesus. It's good enough for us. And if you're not putting meekness on, it's not because God didn't tell you to. It's not because he's not powerful enough to help you with meekness. It's because you're not choosing to put on meekness in your heart and in your life. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. In this area of meekness, let me ask you, is God speaking to your heart tonight as every head is bowed and every eye is closed? Let me ask you, is God speaking to your heart in this disposition of being meek? This good attitude, not being selfish, not being self-interested, not pushy, not the center of attention, but putting on the nature of meekness every day. Is God speaking to your heart about it? If so, would you talk to him about it? And your prayer might need to start, Lord, forgive me for not putting on meekness every morning. Just talk to the Lord.